Don't be afraid of the dark. Just relax and let the darkness fall over you.
Welcome to Afraidish, a podcast where every four episodes we venture into a new state and take a deep dive into the history and paranormal while enjoying some tasty adult beverages. From ghost sightings to hauntings, urban legends and cryptids, let's get weird and afraid-ish together. Hi, I'm Paul.
And I'm Ashley.
Welcome to episode 17, or episode 1 of Texas.
Woo-woo!
So, today, we actually are drinking
some schmalcohol.
Yep. I'm drinking Super Bloom by Great Escape Beer Works, one of my favorite places to go for beer.
And I have, funnily enough, I just realized before we sat down to record, the beer that I'm drinking, we purchased while we were in Texas last May. It's from a brewery called Grain Theory, and it is a Mexican lager called Desert Cruiser. I had it while we were there. We went to the brewery, and it was really good, so they sell it in cans, and we took a couple. You drank yours almost immediately after we got back, and mine's just been like chilling in the fridge for almost a year.
And tonight we just came back from hanging out with some friends. It was a lot of fun.
There's this new spot in town at a local coffee shop. It's like a game room. It's for adults.
It's the coffee shop is Classic Rock Coffee, and then in the back is
the classic yard.
It was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was a good time.
So I've got a few beers in me, so I should be relaxed tonight.
Yeah, and I've got herbal stimulation. I don't know. Weed. It's legal here in Missouri now.
Yeah. All right, so let's go ahead and get into five fun facts about Texas.
Okay.
Five fun facts. Number one, Dr. Pepper was invented in Texas in 1885, created by Charles Alderton, a pharmacist at Morrison's Old Corner Drugstore in Waco.
Fun. You hate Dr. Pepper.
I hate it with a passion.
I don't get it.
I just, Dr. Pepper and Coke. I can't.
It's amazing that we we can cohabitate together. Because I fucking hate Pepsi.
I'm a Pepsi Zero fan.
Blech.
Anyways, Alderton was inspired by the scent of the drugstore, a mix of fruity syrups, and decided to make a carbonated drink to match the smell.
Fun!
The recipe is a secret and is kept in two halves in safety deposit boxes in two different Dallas banks.
That's excessive.
Yeah. Dr. Pepper was first nationally marketed in 1904 and is now sold worldwide. The Dr. Pepper Museum, located in the 1906 Artesian Manufacturing and Bottling Company, is an excellent stop if you're ever in Waco.
Cool beans.
Number two, 7-Eleven traces its origin to Dallas in 1927 when the Southland Ice Company began selling food in its stores and called the business Totem Stores.
Huh.
They changed their name to 7-Eleven in 1946 to advertise their new store hours.
Ah, 7 to 11, yeah. 7 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Whole Foods was founded in Austin in 1980 and, at the time, was one of only a dozen natural food stores in the country.
You mean Whole Paycheck? Allegedly.
Yeah. Number three, the first frozen margarita machine was invented in Dallas.
Nice! Is that Margaritaville?
No.
No?
Restaurateur Mariano Martinez drew inspiration from the Slurpee machines at 7-Eleven, adapted a soft-serve ice cream machine to make frozen margaritas, and called it the world's first frozen margarita machine.
Uh-huh.
It is now displayed at the Smithsonian National Museum of American History.
In D.C.?
Yeah.
Wow. I've been there. I don't remember a frozen margarita machine, but I was also in eighth grade, so either I don't fucking remember it or they didn't have it then. But that's kind of cool.
Number four, the largest known bat colony in North America is located in Texas.
Well, hey there.
Yeah. Located in Bracken Cave, the largest known North American bat colony has over 20 million bats, which is more than the entire human population in Mexico City.
Wow.
The largest known urban bat colony is in Texas over Lady Bird Lake in Austin.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Interesting, considering Texas has, like, worse mosquito problems than we do.
That's true.
And bats eat mosquitoes. You'd think that they...
Well, maybe in that region they don't have
mosquitoes. Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah. Number five, Texas uses its own power grid separate from the rest of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. has three power grids. One for states east of the Rocky Mountains, one for states between the Pacific and the Rocky Mountains, and one for Texas.
Mm-hmm. And we know how well that did them.
Oh, yeah. The Texas power grid was established during World War II to ensure all Texas factories producing critical war supplies were self-sustainable.
Back then, I see the reason, but nowadays, they're just stubborn.
Yeah. Well, in my story, we will get to the Texas power grid.
Okay.
This place doesn't have a lot of paranormal activity, but it does have some. So let's get electrified with the history of the Swenson House in Abilene, Texas.
Woo-woo!
Where my sister lives.
Yeah.
And we visited this place.
Yes, we did.
In, like, last May.
May, when we went to Texas, the same time I bought this beer.
Yeah. Whenever we saw my niece graduate high school.
Yes.
All right, let's learn about William Gray Swenson and how he met his wife.
Okay.
William Gray Swenson, businessman and land developer in Abilene, the son of Swante Johann and Kizzy Chapman Brown Swenson, was born on December 8, 1879, probably on the family sugar plantation in St. Mary's Parish, Louisiana.
Uh-huh.
His father was a Swedish immigrant. The family moved to Austin, Texas in 1880, where Swante Swenson redeemed railroad scrip for 500 sections of ranch land in Jones, Throckmorton, and adjoining counties.
I was wondering what nationality the name Swante would come from. So, yeah. Swedish? Okay.
Swedish, yep. Swenson grew up in Jones County and Abilene, where the family moved in 1883. He attended private and public schools in Abilene. At Southwestern University, he learned the highest grade average. Nope. He earned...
I thought that's what you said.
Is it?
Did you say earned or learned?
Learned. I might have said learned. I don't know. I've been drinking. I don't remember anything.
You're fine.
He earned the highest grade average on record. Excuse me.
Excuse you?
Studied engineering and Greek.
Interesting.
And collaborated with Professor Robert Stuart Heyer in building the wireless telegraph 2 years before the Italian inventor... Guglielmo?
Probably not.
Marconi.
Google will tell you how to pronounce it if you want to say it right.
Guglielmo Marconi announced his discovery.
Interesting.
Yeah. Swenson married Shirley A. McCollum, a college classmate, in February 1902 and returned to Abilene, where their four children were born.
Aww.
In 1902, Swenson became a founding director and the first cashier of Citizens National Bank of Abilene.
Uh-huh. With
local associates, he purchased ranches to divide into farms for settlers.
Huh.
When a bank failure jeopardized Abilene's electric service in early 1905, a group of local businessmen, including Swenson, reorganized the utility companies.
Interesting.
Yep. Swenson became chief of operations for the two newly formed companies.
Why do I not remember this?
Yeah, she...
I know she talked about like what he did for a living. I don't remember any of this.
She is in...
the tour guide.
The tour guide of Swenson, the Swenson house.
I was very distracted, though, while we were on that tour.
Yeah, we'll get into that. She was a very lovely lady, though.
She was.
Super nice. All right, where was I?
Right okay. after they reorganized.
Swenson became chief of operations for the two newly formed companies, the Abilene Light and Water Company.
Later... Oh, I do remember now. My memory is like slow.
Later West Texas Utilities Company and the Abilene Ice Company.
Uh-huh.
Under Swenson, the electric company began providing power continuously rather than only in the evenings.
Interesting.
Swenson served from 1913 to 1917 as president of Childress Ice and Light and Memphis Ice and Electric from 1916 and 1922.
Okay.
As president of Haskell Ice and Light Company. Oh, wait. Okay. So, and from 1916 to 1922, he was the president of Haskell Ice and Light Company.
Okay.
Yeah. I had a run-on sentence. I'm sorry.
Okay.
After several ownership changes, the former Abilene Ice and Light Company became West Texas Utilities Company, and Swenson was the first of its directors. He was an organizer and president of the Abilene Street Railway Company, a streetcar service that made its first run in 1908.
I was like, there was something with the railroad. Like, why am I? But okay. So it was both.
Yeah. He was a director of the Roscoe Snyder Pacific Railway and the Dallas Abilene and Northern Railway. He was a member of the Abilene Hotel Company from 1927 to 1947. He was one of early Abilene's most essential land developers. Notable among the real estate projects on which he collaborated was the 8-story Mims Building, circa 1926.
Which is in downtown Abilene?
Yes. Yeah. We saw that. Yeah. Which housed a dry goods store and the Hilton Hotel
mm-hmm.
in 1927. The first ever to bear the name of Conrad Hilton.
Oh, the first Hilton. Yeah,
the first Hilton.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either till I did this research.
Interesting. She didn't mention that. That's something memorable. That's something you remember.
Yeah.
Why didn't she mention that?
Because she mostly talked about the house.
Yeah, but she talked about like him and his career achievement and how he got to the point where he could build the house.
That's true. His civic contributions included 8 years of service on the Abilene School Board and a year in 1923 as the Chamber of Commerce president. He also served for a time as president of the Abilene Improvement Company. He was a charter member and significant financial contributor to St. Paul Methodist Church.
Okay.
So he was a huge, basically, founder of Abilene. Not founder of Abilene, but...
One of the main founding citizens, businessmen, like, put Abilene on the map.
He did a lot of really good stuff.
Like, the Hammonds are here in Springfield, like... Everywhere's fucking named after them.
Yeah, but the Hammond... don't get me started on Mr. Hammond.
Well, I'm making a comparison here.
Yeah. So, now let's get into the Swenson Forever Home. Completed in 1910, Abilene architect William Preston designed this 2-story brick home for the family of William Gray and Shirley McCollum Swenson. It was built on the 58 acres of land W.G. Swenson purchased for his family.
That's a lot of fucking land.
He would sell off parts of his land for more town development, though.
Well, yeah, the house is now currently in the middle of town.
It is. The two-story Swenson house is a gorgeous, expansive, well-designed rectangular home on a two-acre city block.
Honestly, it's...
It is so beautiful. I'm going to have pictures, and it's amazing.
It's stunning. It's and sick. And
the pictures that I'm going to post are actual pictures that we took.
Yeah!
So I don't have to look for pictures online. The two-story Swenson house is a... I already said that shit. Sorry. It is a lovely integration of the prairie architecture and the mission styles added, which was added in 1928.
Yep.
This home features prairie style, the broad overhangs, and long horizontal lines. There is a large front porch with a balcony on the porch roof.
Yes.
Yeah, did we go out on that? I think we did. Mm. Or at least we looked at it up on the second story.
I don't remember. Yes, we did. It's enclosed.
Yeah, it's enclosed, yeah.
It's a sleeping porch.
That's right, yeah.
I was like, we didn't really go outside on the second story.
I forgot it was an enclosed porch on the second story.
It's a sleeping porch, that's what it's called.
There's a large front porch on the balcony of the porch roof, which can be reached through the double doors of the main bedroom. The original home had cypress wood sidings and a shake roof. The column and the front was made of cypress wood. Mm-hmm. In addition to the remodeling projects in 1928, added so much to the home, as the Swensons had great taste, making this home a complementary integration of prairie and Michelin style. No.
I remember, and I might be misremembering, didn't they get, like, a lot of the, like, beautiful wood? Because they had some of the tiger wood.
Yeah.
But some of the wood that they used in the house came from Michigan.
I think. I might get there. I'm not sure. Okay. Because I've got, I don't know.
Not that it's important, but I remember her mentioning it, and, you know, anytime my home state's represented.
Yeah. Swenson's had great taste, making this home a complementary integration of prairie and mission architectural styles. Mission style elements include a quatrefoil window and a curved dormer over the front entrance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That window.
It is so beautiful. The visitor sees a grand staircase in the middle of the foyer. At the top of the stairs, the landing and open hall walkway go around the staircase that when you look into the front door, you walk in the stair, you immediately see the staircase.
Stairs go up.
Yes.
And then there's a landing and they split off to the left and to the right.
Basically the walkway walks the entire
all the way around.
Yeah.
And oh boy.
Yeah. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
The wood spindles travel around the second floor open hall walkway, which is so beautiful. In 1928, the cypress sidings were replaced with buff brick veneer, and the exterior cypress columns were replaced with brick. The shake roof was replaced with clay tile. The porch on the south side of the porch on the south side was enclosed, and a sunroom was added. That's the sunroom.
Yes,
you were talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
The common space on the first floor is used for social events paid for by private parties. The house can accommodate a sit-down dinner for 110 people.
Jesus.
The outside garden area with the grape arbor also can be used for events during nice weather.
Yes.
William and Shirley raised their four children there. W.G. Swenson died in Abilene on August 29th, 1969, and is buried in the Elmwood Memorial Park, Abilene, and Shirley died in 1974. Their grown kids held onto the house and its property. They tried to maintain it until 1986, when they handed over this historic, expensive to maintain treasure to the Abilene Preservation League, who eagerly took on the challenges of the marvelous Swenson House. And they are doing a really good job at,
they are.
Of upkeep and all that. It's very beautiful. And they're keeping up with the garden area.
Yes.
That's pretty nice, too. The
Abilene garden was my favorite.
Yeah. The Abilene Preservation League believes in restoring the past historic buildings of Abilene. Their first restoration project was the Paramount Theater. And that's a very beautiful... Like, we went to some coffee shops downtown, and that's, mm-hmm. like...
Walked past it.
One of the tall buildings downtown. Their first restoration project was the Paramount Theater, which changed the fate of the Grace Hotel, as the successful Paramount Theater drew people to downtown Abilene once again. After stabilizing, restoring, and renovating this historic treasure, the Abilene Preservation League put this property to work, hosting social and civic events inside the home and on its outside property. They also began a fundraising program to sustain the maintenance needed on the Swenson home. Some members of the Abilene Preservation League who fell in love with this place started a Swenson House Historical Society that grew to such a point that they were in a position to be responsible for the property. And on August 20th, 2018, the Abilene Preservation League handed over the deed to this home to the Swenson House Historic Society on the front porch, witnessed by Mayor Anthony Williams.
Cool beans.
So that's, and I believe, I might get to it. Can't remember her name.
Oh, look at me.
There was the lady that showed us at the house. She's the head of the...
The society?
Swenson House Historical Society, yeah. And, yeah, they do tours there. It's $10 per person, and that money goes to...
To the society.
Society to help preserve the house.
Yeah, the tour guides don't make any money from the...
No, yeah,
the membership, you can tip them at the end.
They just volunteer their time, and it's really amazing. I talked about how they redid another house, but it was it torn down or burned down? She talked about, and they brought a bunch of stuff from that house and put it in the Swenson house.
Don't remember that.
And it was they were taking care of another house, or something happened. It was another historic house. Something happened to it, and they brought up like a bunch of
like furniture and stuff.
Furniture and I saw a dress. She said that dress came from that house.
Oh,
because they lay out stuff for like
there's dresses laid out over the beds as if the daughters are getting ready for a party or something.
I mean, it's set up very well. It's
set up to look
all
like...
All the furniture came from, like, donated stuff. It's not original.
Antique stores. Yeah. None of the furniture is original to the house.
There's a few things that are original, like the plaque, the... Remember, there's the Swenson...
Family crest?
Yes.
Oh, the wow.
The Swenson family crest. I think it's the Swenson family crest. Okay. Anyways, there's a crest hanging on the wall, and I believe that might have been there.
I think, isn't the statue at the top of the staircase, wasn't that original?
I don't know. I can't remember.
It's been forever. Not really. It's been less than a year.
Yeah. Well,
10 months.
Now let's get into the hauntings.
Let's.
When someone works hard to make money and save to build their dream home, then why wouldn't they want to spend eternity there after they die?
I mean, I can think of some interesting things I'd want to do with my eternity.
Yeah. The apparition of a female spirit, possibly the ghost of Shirley Swenson, is seen throughout the house. She built this house with her husband William and lived there until she died. This spirit is gentle and benign, a very polite soul who doesn't mind sharing her house with the living, probably because she was involved with many activities and enjoyed social events while alive.
Yeah.
She makes her appearance as a lady dressed in gray, so the gray lady.
Always, there's always a gray or white or blue lady.
Yeah. So she's the gray lady. Her apparition is mostly seen floating up and down the staircases.
Mm-hmm.
Doors open and close by themselves. Windows also open and close.
Mm-hmm.
To help get the air to flow through the house, she is said to rearrange... Wait, nope. I don't know why I put a period between this. Windows also open and close to help get the air to flow through the house. That's what I meant to say.
Okay.
She is said to rearrange items to her liking. Like if somebody's in there messing with stuff, she'll rearrange it to where she likes it.
Somebody brings in a new chair or tchotchke.
Yeah. The lights go on and off by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
She also enjoys a favorite room, a favorite chair, her garden, and the social events there, as many other spectral ladies of the house do.
Many other?
Like, as many other spectral ladies of their respective houses.
Oh, okay, like, not that house. Yeah, I was like, are there a lot of female ghosts there? You just mean like...
I wrote this really weird.
Whenever the lady of the house, depending on the house.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Swenson House has long been on the city's haunted house tours. So I guess Abilene has haunted tours. And you go through like different locations. And Swenson House happens to be one of those.
Uh-huh. Why didn't we do that?
Because it wasn't Halloween.
Oh, they only do it on Halloween. Yeah. That's right. Okay.
I'm not sure. I didn't look it up.
No, I remember her saying they do something, but it's only on Halloween. They have a Halloween party.
Parties there, yes. And it's pretty cool. Every year they set up a Halloween event, and it's pretty cool.
Well, we should have done the ghost tour if it's available
year-round. No paranormal investigations have been allowed because neither the Abilene Preservation League nor the Swenson House Historical Society is interested in this title as an official haunted house.
No, and that is something she made very clear.
Yeah, she was very clear. She does not believe it's haunted, and she does not allow anybody to investigate.
They want it to be a historical landmark, they're not interested in exploiting the alleged haunted history.
Which is pretty awesome.
Pick a lane and stay there, right? Yeah. Like, I get it, but also you could make a lot of money.
Yeah.
But also that's kind of exploitative.
Yeah.
Well, but also... What isn't?
Yeah. During Halloween, Swenson House hosts a family-friendly haunted house event with actors in spooky costumes and a scary atmosphere created by creative people. Activities are planned on the house grounds as well. And yeah, they do a lot of awesome stuff. So if you could stay overnight at the Swenson House, would it make you afraid-ish?
No.
Yeah. So... Like we said, we toured there, and do you want to talk about your experience?
Well, it wasn't so much an experience, per se. Like, I think your niece had a little bit more to retell.
Also, she was looking through everything, drawers and stuff, and she got a little talking to, like...
She got... snipped at somebody. She was snooping. They didn't want her snooping.
Yeah.
There were certain things that I was like drawn to. Like I have ADHD. I have a really hard time focusing already, but I had a really hard time paying attention to the tour because I just wanted to wander the house.
Yeah.
And I was very drawn to what ended up being Mrs. Swenson's like favorite areas.
Right.
So like the enclosed porch area.
Yeah.
That was like, I felt really nice there. The window, like I kept looking at that. Yeah. Like, I didn't really enjoy my time in the study, which that was kind of his
domain, Swenson's
his office.
Office. Yeah.
The upstairs was kind of weird for me. The balcony, the walkway upstairs, yeah. Like, it's open and it goes around the entire perimeter, like we said before. And it's also, it's a 150-ish, I don't know, I'm not mathing. It's over 100-year-old house.
Yeah.
So things are, like, slanted. The railings are much lower than they probably should be. And the whole entire time, like, whenever we were walking around the thing, like, I just was like, stick as close to the wall as you possibly can because you don't want to fall off this thing. Like, I just, it was like a, like, I was actually, like, very afraid of falling off the thing. And didn't somebody fall down the stairs?
No.
No?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if it was that feeling or, like, because you could kind of tell, like, we were being watched, but, like, just out of curiosity, like, why were we there? What were we doing? Does that make sense?
It was like, it wasn't even like, why are you here? It was more like, they were just in, like, they were just like, hey, there's people. Let's be with the people. Yeah. Like, they were interested.
Yeah, it kind of felt like somebody was watching you, not the tour guide, but like something behind us. Or yeah. Like,
there
basically,
was
basically walking with us just to
take. Basically, they're taking the tour.
Yeah.
Probably, like, critiquing her.
Yeah.
But, no, like, I never felt explicitly bad. There were areas where I felt more comfortable than others. And like I said, I didn't particularly enjoy being in the study, his office, but it wasn't like, I need to get out of this room. It was just, like,
probably like a masculine.
Women weren't really allowed in that room to begin with, kind of a thing. Like, why are there women here?
Yeah.
Was the feeling I got. So that, but the garden.
That was so
the
beautiful.
The garden. Yeah. I didn't want to leave the garden.
Yeah.
I did not want to leave the garden.
And that was one of her favorite places to be.
Like, so. I just. Every time, like, we would get close to going, like, we would, like, the back door in the kitchen when we stepped outside to look at the coal door.
Oh, yeah. There was a, there's a coal door and a, an ice door.
An ice.
Like, there would be an ice man to deliver ice.
Yeah.
And he would put it, he, there was a special door on the outside that they would put it in, and then you would just, like, open the fridge or freezer.
We stepped outside, we looked at those because she was like, and you can see the doors are still existing, they still open, but we're not going to open them.
Yeah.
And then we went back inside, and then the tour kept going, and I started getting kind of irritable, like, when is this thing going to be over? I want to go back outside.
Yeah.
Was like the, I was like, let's get to the garden. Let's get to the garden. I just had this feeling like, okay, this thing needs to wrap up so I can get outside.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. There was one of the upstairs bedrooms. There was a dress. I don't think it was the same dress that you were talking about. Because they have a lot. Like, there's clothes hanging in wardrobes and things. And then they have some things that are out. But there was a dress up there that I did not like. It was a beautiful dress. But I was just like, I hate that dress. I don't like that dress. There's something wrong with that dress.
Yeah. There's a lot of, like, I don't know.
But yeah, like you said, a lot of the stuff in the house, none of it almost is original to the house.
Yeah.
None of it was anything that the Swensons would have had in their day-to-day lives. And, you know, as somebody who regularly thrifts and antiques, if you're not cleansing your items when you're bringing them into your house.
Different energies combining with other energies.
Yeah. Some people, like, I've heard stories of people buying, like, pieces of furniture that are haunted and having, like, really not great experiences. Just cleanse your shit.
Yeah.
If you buy pre-owned shit.
Yeah, there are
a lot of sage, little salt, sound, give a sound bath, whatever. scream at it. I wouldn't do that.
No, there are a lot of original photos and stuff like that, which is pretty cool. You can see the whole family. I think she said Mr. Swenson owned one of the first cars.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, I mean, he's a rich dude. Like,
yeah.
Of course, the richest guy in town's going to be the first guy to own a car.
Yeah.
You know, I.
So that was pretty cool. And they had photos on the wall of them driving to. I forgot where they went on vacation, but there's some photos of that, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I guess that's it. That's.
Yep.
The Swenson House.
In Abilene, Texas.
Yep. We'll continue three more episodes of Texas, and then we're going to come back to Missouri and do some local stuff. I'm still going to have fun facts, and we'll just expand from there and see what happens.
Yeah, I think, like, and I don't know how you feel about this, but, like, definitely focusing more on local stuff, at least for now. But also, if there's a story that you hear that you really want to, like, retell, or if there's something that you think about or anything, and it doesn't have to be local, like, I think it's the structure of the, like, we're only researching things in this state is, like, but I'm not interested. Nothing's piquing my interest, but there's this stuff over here.
Yeah.
I wanna learn about and talk about. So
yeah, we'll see what happens and see if everybody likes that.
Yeah, I mean, you pivot.
If you guys have any stories like of any like local, or if you took a trip somewhere.
Yeah.
Just
any personal experiences whatsoever.
Or if you know anybody who does, like family members, friends. Email me at afraidishpodcast@gmail.com, Instagram and Facebook at afraidishpodcast. Again, the website is down for now. Hopefully I'll have some time to figure that out.
Websites are a pain in the ass, man.
Just trying to figure out what to do without spending a lot of money on.
Well, and as somebody who has officially designed three websites at this point, not counting Blogspot blogs, they're a pain in the fucking ass.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I never want to do it again.
Yeah. All the links will be in the show notes. Also, rate and review on Apple Podcasts and rate on Spotify. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed this episode. And as always, don't be afraid of the dark.
Be afraid-ish.
Fuck me. I fucked this up this time. You fucked it up last time.
I did.
Shit. Anyway. And as always, don't be afraid of the dark.
Be afraid-ish of what's in it.
Bye. See you next time.
Bye.